It's light on down there, isn't it? Okay. Good evening. I don't intend to be doing a whole bunch of moving around, but I'm gonna try to find somewhere to put this. I don't know if y'all heard me this morning when Brother Al was preaching his sermon, and he said this text is gonna be taken from John the 4th chapter. I said, well, they're gonna hear it twice. I don't even know if he caught on to what I was saying, but then I told him after he preached his sermon, I said, I don't know how it is that you and I both studied and prepared for the same lesson, because I didn't tell him 2 or 3 weeks ago what I was going to preach on or what I was going to talk about. And he didn't tell me either. And so I said, this morning you got part A. This afternoon you get part B. Would that be all right? All right then. But I want to thank you all for coming out tonight. It's a good little crowd for the weather. And it's some good weather out there. It's got some storming, some, heard some lightning and some thunder. And it's raining consistently. It's a little bit chillier than it was. You know, if you was a people of another mind, you could still be at home doing something different, couldn't you? But I just thank God that you decided to come out to the house of God, sing songs and make merriment. And also not only make merriment, but to listen to a few words of encouragement. Just a few. Now, someone has noted that I love the Old Testament, and they're always talking to me about it. And he's a good friend of mine and yours, too. But I do love the Old Testament. And so tonight, I just wanted to talk about that conversation at the well. And I wanted to point out, well, how did these Samaritans get that way? How do anyone get into a position where when Jesus sent out the 70, he told them, he says, don't go into the way of the Gentiles, and no, not into the way of the Samaritan, of Samaria. But we do understand that in Acts the 8th chapter, when Philip went there to preach, they received that word, and what did they do? They're numbered with us saints today. Well, let's just go back. We got to go way back. How many of y'all brought your black books tonight? Nobody. You don't have to. I'll just go on and show it to you. Now, I wanted to put this thing, because brother, he's done a great job. He's done a real good job in giving us these handouts. And I love him to death, because I had him scared. He pulled me to the side and wanted to know what I was going to get him for. And I told him, I'm just kidding, man. Can I joke with you? And he was, you know, he thought I was going to get him about something, but I didn't. I love him so much. But when you go right here, in the 388 years, starting right here upon this part, upon the 120 years where Saul and David and Solomon was, and we're going to get to the last part of this right here in 1 Kings 11, and then we're going to jump over here upon the Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and we're going to tie that in and show you how we make some big mistakes and then live in them and get worse at it. That's what the Bible is talking to us about. And so my take, not my take, the take that I'm going to channel is that how we get to be misfits, but God can clean up anybody. I don't care who you are. You can be a 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Romans 1:24, 26, 28, but guess what? The Lord can clean you up. Woman at the well is proof of it. Turn with me if you have your Bibles. I know you have your Bibles. To 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. In 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, we find that we're going to start here, but we're going to wind up and end up in John, okay? In 1 Kings 11 chapter, we find that Solomon, the beloved son of David, the last true king who reigned 40 years, in his old age he had begun to have a problem. The Bible says in 1 Kings 11:1, but the king Solomon love many strange women, to gather with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, and Ammonites, and Edomites, and Zonanites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Word says, Solomon clave unto these in love. Now, I know a lot of people ought to talk about where he said he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. All I can say, I had trouble out of one, and I just know good and well I couldn't survive that other number there. That's a lot of women. I couldn't handle that. Be too much for me. For it came to pass, it says in verse 4, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect or sincere with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You know, the only thing that God had against David was that which he did with Uriah and Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. Isn't that amazing? And God reminds us of that. But here, I don't want you to get in mind now that Solomon's going to be lost. Because I know some people looking like, well, Solomon lost. Well, now remember, when he penned the Ecclesiastical book, Songs of Solomon, those are the books of his repentance, so that you know that he did get it together. Because he said in Ecclesiastes, the whole duty of man is to do what? Fear God and keep his commandments. But I just want you to understand, how did we get here and how did it happen that a people become so far and so estranged from God? We hear it every Sunday. But let us continue to go on. I'm going to skip that, but I want you to go and read some of these other things on your own. But for brevity and for time's sake, because there's much that needs to be said, because we've got three chapters to go in this king. It says that after Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, he went not fully after the Lord. Or drop down. Verse 8. And likewise did he for all his strange wives which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Now he getting worse and worse and worse. But look at verse number 11. Wherefore, because of what he was doing, the Lord said unto him, unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in the days that I will not do it, notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake. But I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdoms, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Let's jump over here to verse number 26. This is the servant. Now, y'all can go back and read the other part, you know, because this is some good stuff. You need to put this in your mind and so you can get a good understanding of where we are today and why where we are. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraite, or Sir Ida, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hands against the king. You find that a couple other guys did too. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king Solomon. The king. You see, Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor And Solomon seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him rule over the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way. And he had clad himself with a new garment, a new coat. And they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give 10 tribes to thee. Go to verse 33. I'm going to tell him why. He said, because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zonians, Chemosh, the god of Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statute and my judgment as David his father. We'll stop right there. Now, way back in that time, if God demanded this of his people back in then, and we have grace and truth today, what's the difference? We hear Sunday in and Sunday out, day in and day, and we study like we should do, especially with our sheets of accountability, we should know that God didn't tolerate sin and disobedience and straying away from his commands at that time. He's still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He has those same requirements for us today. But we have an advantage. We have a bigger advantage. Let's go on and read some more. Well, we know, just read the rest of that on your own. But 34, he says, howbeit I would not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him a prince of all the days of his life, of his David, my servant. Let's drop down to verse 37. Now listen, God come to you through the prophet and give you a blessing. And you know it's going to turn into a curse. How did we get this way and how did this happen? Verse 37, he said, and I will take thee and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto, now listen at verse 38. This is the kicker right here. If thou wilt hearken to all that I command thee, and would walk in my ways and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandment as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Man, what a promise. What a guarantee. What an insurance. All I have to do is obey. But how did we get to this way? Skip on over. Let's go to the next chapter. We'll go up to around about, well, before you do that, I'm going to just say this. Solomon died. In verse 12, it starts off, Solomon dies. And he becomes king. And I know you, this is a sermon by itself, and that's why I'm just going to rush through this, because it could be all day. He tells him that he stands before the people, and we know that Jeroboam had went into, because Solomon wanted to kill him. He went into Egypt. Now he comes back. Rehoboam is the king. Jeroboam is there to challenge him. Now he's there to challenge him because remember, God had promised this thing. And this is the incident that causes it. They ask him, all the people says, make it lighter on us and we'll serve thee. Jeroboam consulted the older guys. They said, go ahead and do as the people ask. I'm just putting it in a paraphrase. He said, I'm going to go ask the younger guys, those who I grew up with. He asked them. They said, no, let's make it harder on them and tell them it's going to be hard. I'm just making it up to get through this sentence. And he says, because I don't have all day, because this is an hour and a half, 2 hour sermon, if you want to think about it. I told you that, didn't I, Brother Brandon? But anyways, he says that he hearkened to the younger men. He didn't care about what the older men. He went out there and told them. He said, I'm going to be harder than my father was. And I'm going to demand more taxes and more of you than he ever did. And the burdens are going to be harder on you. That was the cause that God used. And you see, two wrongs don't make a right. Am I right? He was wrong. He was hard. He was austere. But then, there was a problem. They revolted and went back. They said, hey, the 10 tribes, North tribe says, hey, look, we ain't got no part in David's house. So what are we going to do? Then there was a feud come on because you go down here and they found out that this guy they sent down there to collect some money. Oh, he lost his life. And they killed him. Rehoboam says, hey, I got to get out of here. He booked up, went on back to Israel, Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem. Get over here in by verse number 20. In 1 Kings 12, he said, it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called unto him the congregation and made him king over Israel. Now we've got two kings, right? Remember, this thing is of the Lord. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin and 144,000 chosen men, which were warriors to fight against the house of Israel to bring the kingdoms again to Rehoboam the son. You know, he wanted to bring them back together. Well, but the word of God came unto Shimeah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up to fight, nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. The word said they hearkened unto him. All right. Verse 25. You got to pay attention to be verse 25 through 31. Here, remember, the Lord told Jeroboam what? Following all of my stature, footsteps, and everything. And I would make you of a great house like I did my servant David. Watch this. Verse 25, now this happens today. This is how we get to where we are. He says, then Jeroboam built Shechem. Wait a minute, why you go up there and build Shechem, brother? And the Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein. Separatism. I'm going to do it my own way. Pride and arrogance. And he went out from this and built Penuel. The word says in verse 1, and Jeroboam said, in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Selfishness, covetousness, greed. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now I'm going to stop there and let you all read the rest of it. Now I'm going to get into this part so I can finish it up. What I want to say to you is this. The arrogance and audacity of individuals who are change agents, who would change God's worship from a thus saith the Lord, without sincerity, without consideration of what God has just promised you, to do the things the way you would like to do it. You see, turn to 2 Kings, the 17th chapter. We're going to look at one verse. You can read the other on your own. I would suggest you read the entire 17th chapter of 2 Kings. But I just want to read verse number 24. Read that entire chapter. We'll start at verse number 21. For he rent Israel, God, from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king. Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. We have leaders in the Lord's church today who are doing the same thing. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam which he did. They departed from them. Unto the Lord remove Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon. Now look at here. He brought people, after he removed the folks, to move in, to intermarry, to interdisperse this place, and deluded these people further than what they was always. That's your Romans 1:24, Romans 1:26, Romans 1:28, and that's 2 Thessalonians 2:14 of today. That's the comparison I wanted to make in that. But now Jesus at the well with this Samaritan woman, or this woman of Samaria. Let's turn over there right quick. Because I've used that to set up, because every one of those sermons within themselves, I just try to put them all together so we can see how polluted that we can become in the eyes of God by not doing according as he has given unto us through his word. But now I'm going to show you something. At least not I am. The word of God finna show you something that Brother Al so eloquently preached this morning. So I took the different approach to it today, and I'm just going to throw in a couple of them in here, not many. In John, the 4th chapter, we're going to start here around by verse number 10. Remember where he said that if this woman knewest the gift of God, who is the word that saith unto thee, give me to drink? Let me ask you a question. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed them should not perish but have everlasting life. If we knewest that the same God, the Father, the eternal existent I am, from everlasting to everlasting, who said before he ever said his spirit moved across the water, it was darkness, it void. Before it was ever said, he said in Ephesians the 1 and verse 4, he said that, you know, these people that I'm going to create, these human beings, they need a Savior. So Son Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and Jesus, he says, I'm going to send you down there as their Savior. I've already chosen you to be their Savior. And the Lord Jesus, before he wasn't Jesus at that time, he was just known as the Lord. He was that rock. He was that cloud. He was that pillar of fire that followed them around. He was that rock they drank from in the wilderness. And so, you see, the Lord has always been there in this picture. Always. And that's what we have to keep in mind so we can be focused on the right thing. He said, I'm going to send you down there to be their Savior. But look, from the time that he created, when he said, let us create man in our image and our life, and look how many years has passed before we get to Matthew 1 and 23, where he sent Emmanuel, God was to be with us. They can come on, according to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That same Word we have today is the one says, who had taken on flesh, according to 1:14, John 1:14, and says, if thou knewest, if thou knewest. Move up a little bit further. Let's drop on down. The living water has been explained, but I want to point out some things that Jesus did with this woman. She gave him some smart talk. But in verse 16, after he told her to do something, he said, go and call thy husband. The woman, examination time, 2 Corinthians 13:5. She said, hey, I have no husband. The word said to her, my sisters and my brothers, thou hast well said, thou hast no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. Now, I'm quite sure her hair done stood up on her head by now. But see, this is the word talking to you, revealing to you through self-examination. When we study that word, it should do the same for us. Reveal our true picture, our true nature of what we really are. And we have to be honest with ourselves like this woman. And Jesus further said, you know why he said that though? See, a lot of us see marriage as a ceremony type thing, right? But you remember in the Old Testament when he knew and he went in to his wife. You understand what I'm saying? When conjugal relations happen, that's marriage in the eyes of God. That's the only ceremony that's needed. We the one got it wrong, but the word got it right. And the answer to that other question of that problem that's down there in the school down there in the Florida college, all they have to remember is that when it says, and you ought to know where I'm coming from, Brother Al, is that and the evening and the morning was the first day. So that settles that right there. That was an issue that comes up in the church. And that's one of the things that was dividing the Florida, the school, the Florida colleges down there. That was the big divide. All you have to do is go to the scripture. The word answers every problem that we have. If we pay attention and when we pay attention. But now, these people remember that's been so diluted and polluted that God now is talking to her. There's another occasion when he wanted to go to Samaria in Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 52. They wouldn't even let him through there because they said his eyes were set strictly on going through Jerusalem, and they did not like people just passing through there. Now, if you want to spend some time with him, it's okay. But he was determined to go to Jerusalem because it was about that time when he was getting ready to prepare to be lifted up. Also, I want to say this about the Samaria, the Samaritans. They only used Genesis through Deuteronomy. They rejected the rest of the Old Testament books. Oh, no, you know, because of all that pollution and dilution, they didn't really have no love for Jerusalem because they were still remembering that we had no part in David. It goes on a long time. Time to let some things go. Press on toward the mark. Forgetting those things that are behind. Because remember this woman, she changed the subject real quick. She said, she told him right quick, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And our fathers worship in these mountains. And he says, hold on. Jesus said, okay, I'm going to do you like you just did me. He said, woman, in the 23rd verse, he said, neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem shall you worship. He refocused her back to where he wanted. He said that the true worshipers, he's trying to see in her, just like he's trying to see in each and every one of us, are we capable of being true worshipers and listening to the word and follow its directions? He says the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's drop on down. This woman now is pretty much convinced. Because she asked him, she says, about this Messiah that she had been heard about through Moses. And he says, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's bring this to a close. Like I said, this is a long sermon. After they had their colloquy, and the apostles came back. This woman was so amazed and so enamored by what happened to her between this exchange of her and the Word. Y'all notice what I'm saying? I didn't say Jesus, I said her and the Word, because we know Jesus is the Word. That she left her water pots and forgot all about what she was there, because this man then exposed her. We all are supposed to be exposed. And in our exposure, we're to realize, I'm going to skip some things here and get to the point that I want to get to. Y'all, let's go on over that to verse 39. Bring it to a close. Because she went and told the people in the town to come see a man that told me everything that I ever did. People, the word of God is the only thing that's going to tell you that you've ever done and be truthful with you and is not lie, will not deceive you. To refine you and to change you, to aid you, that you can become what he would have us to be. Bring it to a close. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him, or they asked him to he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his. Now, this is the point that I want to drive home, brothers and sisters. This is what stood out to me one day, and this is why I wanted to bring this lesson, convoluted lesson. He said, many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy sin, but we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We have capable and competent brethren here who preach and teach the word of God. Some of you believe because of what they preach and teach. But the word tells us, in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study to show thyself, or prove unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you won't have to worry or be concerned about what others tell you, but you've been taught to the word yourself. And you believe because of what you come to know and having the right relationship with that Emmanuel, with the Lord, with the rock, with the Word, with the Savior of the world, the Savior all, the light, the living water, that which is all we need to sustain us from here to eternity. I'm sorry I bored you with this here, but I just pray that even with my condensed version, because I was really wondering how I was going to present all these different sermons in one. In one. Because there's many certain lessons in here. I love the Old Testament. But if I've said anything to you to encourage you in any way, shape, fashion, or form, to let you know that those same people who were so corrupt, just like all of us, we're bankrupt. We're needy. The only answer is for us to trust and believe in this word that God has given unto us. And I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 10th chapter. Hebrews 10th chapter. The invitation will be yours. Hebrews the 10th chapter. Brother Spear. Number 7. And you probably know where I'm going with this, Brother Spear. He told them back in then, and we'll start with verse 6. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. But verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. You see, he's in this book. We must study the book in order to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. To follow his word, and to do things in accordance to his will, that we may be pleasing and a sweet smelling odor unto the God who gave his son, whose son who came down and gave himself on Calvary's cross for you and me. If I've said something to you to provoke you in any way, shape, fashion, or form, to make that change, to depend on that word, and showing you in any kind of way to be encouraged, be uplifted and to be edified by the great God of heaven through the word, and you have a response of change to make tonight, will you please do so as we stand and sing this song of invitation? Not a friend.